This past week, I had the opportunity to swim in two very different places. The first was in the clear, clean water of a swimming pool, and the second was in the murky waters of the Gulf. Turns out, I vastly prefer to swim where I can see the bottom and know where my foot is going next. It makes me really uncomfortable to walk into muddy waters that obscure those steps. Go figure. Please pray with me. Gracious God, may your word to us this morning provide clarity, understanding, and courage. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Life has taught me that it takes greater courage to step into the muddy waters of the unknown than it does to walk on a path that's clearly visible. I often hear people say, "Trust God." I say it myself, but it's not always that easy to do. I met John last week when I was in St. Petersburg. He greeted my work team warmly when we arrived at St. Vincent de Paul's thrift shop. And then he provided our orientation, explaining to us the mission and work of the thrift store. John asked us where we were from. He wanted to know why we had come from Hartford to St. Petersburg. Then he told us his story. A few years ago, John had been in an upper management position at Home Depot. He'd had a lovely home and a comfortable lifestyle. Then he was downsized out of a job. After a long and unsuccessful job search, during which he heard that he had too much experience, too little experience, the wrong experience, and that he was too expensive to hire, he hit the wall. Frustrated and financially in bad shape, John took the job as the assistant manager of the thrift shop. During our time working there, he told us repeatedly that now he hears more thank yous and God bless yous than he does curses. He said that even though he had to give up his former lifestyle and was pinching pennies every day, he sleeps like a baby at night and wakes up happy to go to work in the morning. In the murky waters of an uncertain future, John managed to find a precious gem of wisdom. Deep satisfaction can be found in providing for those who are in greater need than you are. It takes a great deal of courage to let go of expectations and continue searching when things look hopeless. That kind of courage doesn't come from relying on our own abilities. It comes from trusting in God's grace. But jewels of promise are often found in the river of change. According to the Old Testament, Naaman had it all together. He was a successful commander in the army, favored by his king, the king of Aram. He had power, possessions, and was greatly respected because of his military success. But Naaman had a significant problem. He was a leper. He had tried everything, but the skin disease persisted. After hearing from a slave girl that there was a prophet in Samaria who might be able to help him, Naaman set out, laden with gifts, to find that prophet. The journey didn't go the way the commander had expected it to, and the solution that the prophet Elisha offered didn't seem like a solution at all. Why would Naaman want to enter the muddy waters of the Jordan River when the rivers back home were so much nicer and cleaner? Naaman had to swallow his pride and enter those muddy waters. But when he did, He received a gift of inestimable value, the golden glow of healthy skin. That kind of courage, the kind that Naaman showed, doesn't come from relying on our own resources. It comes when we trust in God's grace. It takes courage to trust the guidance of other people. Bob is the head of housekeeping at the Salvation Army shelter in St. Petersburg. He supervises volunteers from the community, often local teens who are working toward college scholarships. It's a program that the state of Florida has. Bob clearly loves kids. He spent time while we were on our breaks telling us jokes and teaching my teens magic tricks. While we organized the shelves in a storeroom at the shelter, Bob shared his story with us. He said that he used to earn $2.5 million a year. He told us that Jimmy Buffett had once played at a party on his yacht. Then he shook his head, and looking the kids in the eye, he said, "But I was bad. I was a really bad man." You see, Bob had earned his money running first drugs and then guns from South America into Florida. Eventually, he got involved in human trafficking, bringing girls of the same age as the ones I was working with over to America on his boat. I asked Bob how he wound up working for the Salvation Army in St. Petersburg. He shook his head. "I did not want to go back there. 15 years in jail is a long time. I just couldn't go back there again. So when I got out, I looked for a legitimate job. But no one would hire an ex-con. And then AARP, because I was 63, took a chance on me. They went to bat for me, and they got me this job here." In the murky waters of incarceration, Bob had found a precious jewel, his moral compass. Bob now believes that true freedom isn't found in doing whatever you want. It's found when one chooses a life of service to others. It took courage for Bob to look at his past glories, and he's still talking about them, right? He told us. And to question his own motivation. That kind of courage doesn't come from relying on our own resources. It comes when we rely on God's grace. Sometimes gems of wisdom are found in the muddy waters of questioning. Some of life's most precious jewels are found in muddy waters, in times of challenge or trial or illness, or even when we hit the wall, as both John and Bob discovered. It was true for those individuals, and it's true for groups of people as well. It's true for families, for churches, it's true for our presbytery, our denomination, and maybe even our world. Sometimes, in order to find pearls of wisdom, gems of hope and healing, we have to enter the uncertainty of those muddy waters. I'd like to read you a story. This is a story by a pastor friend of mine whose name is Chris Shelton. He's the pastor of Broadway Presbyterian Church in New York City. It's called A Bath in the Muddy Waters. Once upon a time, there was a wonderful gathering of people, caring people, loving people, committed and sometimes stubborn people. They loved each other deeply and had seen each other through many hard times. They had stood strong for each other and with each other, and the love connected them flowed deep. They were a people who worshiped God and had fought long and hard to provide a place of worship in their town. They had seen their community through hard times too, through fires, through wars, through struggles far and near. And through it all, God was good to them, though they didn't always see how. Having fought so long and struggled on their journey together for some time, they'd become a proud people, proud to have made it so far in their struggles. Now, as it happened during one season, that community of loving people experienced a new struggle. They had been through hard times before, and so they rallied around each other and held each other together. With each passing season, however, the struggle deepened, and more struggles came along, and soon the people were torn. What to do? And through it all, God was good to them, though they didn't always see how. Questions come and go, but there are some that linger like a bad itch. The questions they faced were that kind. And oh, how they longed to be rid of the itch of those questions. How they had tried to scratch them in the same old way they always had. How they longed to use the old medicine and stick with the old ways. Sing a little louder, some said, and the bad spirits will go away. Pray a little harder, some said, and God will provide. Shout a little more, some said, and maybe someone out there will hear us. Close the doors and lock them tighter, some said, and we can keep any problems from coming in. Pretend the struggle isn't there, some said, and maybe it'll just go away. And through it all, God was good to them, though they didn't always see how. Prophets came in and out of the people's lives, urging the people to look deeply at themselves and deeply at the world, and not to miss out on what God was doing. Prophets are not always easy people to listen to, goodness knows. Some prophets had been there among the people all along, and some came from the outside. Still, the group of people held together, but still the questions itched and itched and itched, and the people grew sore and tired from scratching those questions. One day another prophet came among them and showed them a river. A muddy river at that. It was muddy with more questions. It was muddy with change. It was muddy with the aches and pains of the world. It was muddy with new ways of doing things. It was muddy with new songs to sing and new commitments to make. The river was muddy, and it didn't look like the rivers the people had always known. The river was muddy and cloudy and uncertain. And the people didn't really like the river that the prophet showed them. The people asked the prophet, "Why must you show us this river? It's muddy and it doesn't look like any river we have around here." The prophet smiled and told the people, "If you want comfort from your struggles, you need to bathe in this river. And not just once, you need to bathe in it again and again." The people, whose itches were irritated at the very thought of such a thing, responded with astonishment. "What? You want us to bathe in that water, muddy with doubts, cloudy with change, and cluttered with dangers we can't even imagine? You want us to swim into water that will cause us to look different than we've looked before?" Some people said, "We have our own ways and our own waters that are much cleaner than this. We have our own soap and our own expectations. We just need to go back to where we started, and all will be better." Some people said, "You prophets are always telling us to do things we don't want to do. Why can't you just preach a little better, or say the right words, or wave the right wand? Can't you just take the struggle away from us? If you want us to jump into the water, why can't it be water that's more comfortable?" And through it all, God was good to them, though they didn't always see how. But some people stopped and thought, "Wait, if the prophets told us to do something hard, wouldn't we just jump up and do it? The prophets only asked us to wash, to dive into this water. Isn't it time to face the fact that our old rivers and our old ways won't do anymore? that the world has changed and the old rivers are running dry? Yes, the water is muddy. But if we all dive in together, we'll still have the most important thing we ever had. The others responded with looks of fear and concern. What will we have that we've always had? They asked. Each other, the people replied. And so, though it was not easy, they walked to the river's edge. Its waters were muddy, and truthfully, no one knew what would happen. They splashed into the river. They splashed in it again and again. And as they splashed, they did change. And as at first they couldn't see it happening, but as they splashed over and over, they finally saw themselves becoming fresh and beautiful. The itch went away, and somehow they knew that they would face itching struggles again, and uneasy questions would return. But somehow, they weren't afraid anymore. And who knows what the end of that story is? I don't. Perhaps we never do. And yet, through it all, God was good to them, even though they didn't always see how. I do know this much, whether they see it or not, God will be good to them in everything to come. God is one we can trust in the muddy waters of our lives, in the muddy waters of our world. God stands with us. As a reminder this morning, at the end of worship, if you'd like, don't drop it on the floor, but take a stone. A reminder, God is with us. Amen.